British Sky Broadcasting, in association with Universal Pictures, presents Definitely Maybe, starring Ryan Reynolds as Will Hayes and Abigail Breslin as his daughter Maya. The audio description is by Tony Cook on behalf of the MCS Agency. A large brown envelope lands on Will's office desk. He stares at it uneasily as he fiddles with his pen. He drops the pen and opens the package. It contains his divorce papers.
I don't think anyone ever imagines on their wedding day they'll be part of the 46% that doesn't live happily ever after.
Will, just heard we got the Quaker Oats account. Way to go. You must be completely psyched.
Then again, I never thought I'd spend my days, weeks, and years working in an advertising agency trying to figure out how to get kids to eat Cap'n Crunch instead of Fruit Loops. But Tuesdays and Fridays are my favorite days. I get out of work early, and I go pick up my daughter, Maya, from school. Now, it's a great feeling when you find the right track to go with the day, and today, I have found the absolute perfect song. Bitches think she's mine. The other perfect song.
He presses his music player again as he walks along the street wearing earpieces. Adam Brooks is the writer and director of Definitely Maybe, also starring Isla Fisher, Derek Luke, Elizabeth Banks, and Rachel Weisz. Sometimes I'm right, and I can be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. The butcher, the baker, the drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. Another guy with headphones holds Will back as he's about to step in front of a bus. Will mouths the words, thank you. The other guy mouths, you're welcome. He passes a geek with dark glasses, holding a scribbled poster, asking for funds to fix his spaceship so he can get back to his own planet. Will turns back and presses money in the man's hand. The stranded space traveler reverses the poster, showing the word thanks, spelt with an X. There's a montage of pictures, busy streets, a stretch limo, the sun in a blue sky, dancing mottled rays through green leaves, a street store advertising new books, two girls in tight jeans having an animated conversation, a little boy playing with a big ball on the pavement, two dogs on their leads, a little one trying to sniff a big one. Will checks his watch as he crosses a road. Will passes a waiting school bus and enters his daughter's school.
But sometimes, no matter how carefully you plan your playlist, there is no right track for what awaits you.
With a wide expression, he whips out his earpieces.
Hey, what's going on?
Will, did you know there was going to be a sex ed class today?
Aren't they kind of young?
Yeah, it was a total disaster.
At least they got him reading. There's a book.
250 million sperm are ejaculated and begin their treacherous journey towards the fallopian tubes. 100 million are wiped out.
I'm gonna find Maya.
Do you still have sex with Daddy? Do you? You do, don't you? I hate you, I hate you.
Maya, aged 11, steps towards him. He stares at her quizzically.
We need to talk. Which is when the man removes his penis from his pajamas and thrusts it into a woman's
vagina. Okay, Mrs. Gallagher didn't actually say thrust.
Yeah.
Oh.
But what I don't understand, Simi Boygan's sister said he was an accident. I mean, how do you accidentally thrust a penis into... Hi, Louise.
Hey.
How do you accidentally...
Stop saying penis and thrust. Just say tinkle part or wee-wee, something cute.
explain how Sammy was an accident.
That's complicated.
Penis.
Okay.
Penis.
Okay. All right, that's enough. Okay. It's not like his dad slipped on a banana peel. The accident was that Sammy's mom got pregnant.
If they didn't want a baby, then how come they had sex?
That's a very good question. I guess you could say that they were rehearsing.
She ponders.
Sign accident?
No.
It was, wasn't I?
No. You were completely and totally on purpose. I knew exactly what I was getting into.
She peels mushrooms in his apartment.
I think you just told me the story of you and my mom.
Why do you keep saying my mom? Like I've never met her.
Well, because now that you're getting divorced, she's mine, not yours.
Is that so?
Tell me how it happened. And the real story, not the, we met, we fell in love, and we decided to take all that love and make a family. And that's how we made you.
You know something? I'm going to tell you the real true story of how me and your mother met.
When I'm old enough.
Yep.
Look, I know love isn't a fairy tale.
Really?
Really. Did you have another girlfriend before you met her? Come on, tell me the truth.
I had two serious girlfriends. And then there's some other smattering other women that I dated. What?
Wish the boy went for slut.
They still haven't come up with one yet. I'm sure they're working on it. You a vegetarian this week or not?
Yeah, I am.
Great.
I'm guessing he wasn't her first boyfriend. Maybe it was some nerdy guy. Or maybe he was mean. Or maybe. You were friends for the longest time, and then, just when you were about to put your penis in somebody else's vagina,
night, Maya.
You realize Mama's the only one for you.
Bedtime.
You still have to tell me the story of why you fell in love with her.
I fell in love with her because she was smart and beautiful and fun.
So now she's stupid and ugly and boring?
Of course not.
Then what's the problem?
It's complicated, Maya.
Everything with you is so complicated. I bet that if you just told me the story, you'd realize that it's not complicated at all. That you just love her.
I know this is tough for you, but what are you thinking? That I'm going to tell you this story and it's going to make everything better? It doesn't work that way.
Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Tell me and we'll find out.
No. Game over. It's time for bed.
No, it's not time for bed. Oh. It's time for you to tell me the story.
Maya.
I need to know. I need to know.
She sits up in bed.
Fine, fine. I'm going to tell you the story, and I'm not telling you who your mom is.
Fine.
You're just going to have to figure it out for yourself.
Good.
And I'm changing all the names and some of the facts. I just decided that right now, and then we'll see how smart you are.
I like it. It's like a love story mystery.
Great. Sounds good. You ready?
No.
No.
She positions her cuddly toys.
Take your time.
I will.
I know you will. Princess pillow?
Thank you.
You're bad.
She gets comfortable.
I'm ready.
Once upon a time, before emails and cell phones and reality television shows, in 1992 to be exact, in a little town called Madison, Wisconsin, there lived a young man named William Hayes.
Hey, Will, man, happy New Year.
Now, this young man was deeply, deeply in love with his college sweetheart. Let's call her
Emily.
Emily.
Emily!
A smiling blonde.
10, 9, 8.
Hey, guess who's gonna be the luckiest guy on planet Earth in about, 4 seconds.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, they were a perfect couple. Except, to really understand how this young man ended up marrying your mother, you'll also need to know that he had a very big, incredibly embarrassing dream.
All rise. For the president of the United States of America, William Matthew Hayes.
In the flashback, he stands before a mirror near a photo of the Clintons.
You want to be president?
I don't understand why I have to work for Clinton in New York. Why I can't just work for him in Madison?
Well, because they don't need me here. They need me in New York.
They need him, Em. Will's the man. I can't believe you're letting him go. I mean, don't you know about New York girls? Besides being incredibly hot, they have no problem with casual sex. So, by the way, I totally respect.
What if Charlie's right?
Charlie's never right. He's functionally retarded.
I am worried New York's gonna change you.
Change can be good.
If we change together.
So we'll change together. Okay, it's 2 months in New York. I'll be back before you know it. Besides, we have a plan, right?
The other thing I can't believe is that you'd risk leaving Emily here with me, because I gotta tell you, I've always had a thing for you.
He throws a toilet bag.
And I have absolutely no scruples.
Emily sees Will to his taxi.
Wait, I almost forgot. You have to give this to Summer. She's the only girl I know in New York. I want
Summer Hartley?
Yes.
That's her name?
Yes.
Wow.
She's on my exchange program at Cambridge, and all the guys wanted to sleep with her, and you probably want to.
Maybe you should mail it to her. That might be a better idea. What is it?
Something I should have sent her a long time ago.
They kiss.
I love you, William Hayes. Okay. Go, go. Go be your brilliant self.
Emily sounds like she'd make a good mom. I just don't know if she's my mom.
Why not?
Everyone knows that the girlfriend in the beginning of the story always gets dumped, which means maybe Summer Hartley is my mother.
Now Will sits on a plane holding the package Emily gave him. There's a smile of excitement on his lips as he looks down at the jagged New York skyline. Next, he walks along a bustling New York street.
I'll never forget that day. There I was, arriving in the city I always dreamed about, to work on a campaign that I believed in with all of my heart. And on top of that, I was positive that in just a few hours, the campaign manager would realize how brilliant I was. And then I'd be writing speeches, and then I'd be coming up with strategy, and before...
Will Hayes! Hey. Gareth Henderson.
Oh, you're Gareth. Hey,
nice to meet you. We're walking, Hayes.
I brought my CV and samples of speeches I wrote for Congressman Sweeney.
Fantastic. I cannot wait to peruse these in my abundant spare time. In the meantime, here's a sample of the coffee and bagel order I'll need filled immediately.
Wait. You want me to get coffee?
At some point in our lives, we all get coffee. Your time's now. Come on. We're still walking, Hayes. Have the coffee here by 10 o'clock or Arthur's going to kill me. That means I'm going to have to kill you. I've killed before, Hayes. You should know that.
What is it?
That is a cellular telephone, so I can get a hold of you wherever, whenever, for whatever. Can somebody get me an aspirin, please?
Watch it.
Glad to have you aboard, eh?
Will stares around the busy campaign office.
Hi.
What? Hi.
4 weeks from now, voters of New York State will select their next Democratic nominee for president. Now, if Bill Clinton wins, I want you to all understand that it's going to be as a direct result of the commitment and the energy of every person in this room. And I mean that, that's just a fact. Now, that's how important the work is, that each and every one of you is...
Oh! Will trips with a pile of toilet rolls.
What am I doing here?
It's the new guy.
In the street.
Hey,
he's the toilet paper guy.
Will goes into a tobacconist.
Can I get a pack of Morley Thread, please?
$3.25.
These are $2.15 in Madison, Wisconsin.
So go back to Madison.
Don't forget to write.
That's right, don't forget to write.
Hold it! Stop! Stop right there!
You smoked?
No, yeah. But I didn't mean to tell you that. Listen, I was young and I was stupid, and I haven't smoked in years, I promise you.
Is there anything else you should tell me?
Probably. Not.
Back at the campaign office, he crosses to the photocopy machine.
Can I get 10 copies?
Put them on the pile.
No, they're for Arthur. I need them like 15 minutes ago, so if you wouldn't mind.
You're the toilet paper guy.
Wait, who's that?
That's April. Yes, I am in fact the toilet paper guy. Feel free to call me the bagel and coffee guy, or Todd in accounting calls me Crystal, which I'm pretty sure is a girl's name.
How many copies?
10, please.
These?
Yeah, both of those. What made you become a Bill Clinton supporter?
I'm not. This is a money game. I get paid 12 an hour, which is better than babysitting, which is what I've been doing way too much of.
You're a Democrat, right?
Why does everyone have to be a Democrat or a Republican? I'm struggling with a copy machine.
No, hold on. You're an independent, aren't you?
I am nothing. Why am I obligated to be something? Why do I have to have an opinion about everything anyway? I mean, really, what do I know about missile systems or social security or the tax code?
What about civil rights or women's rights? A woman's right to do what she wants with her body. What about that?
I do what I want with my body.
That's apathetic.
I'm not apathetic.
Yes, you are.
I'm not. I just know that these bozos you're working for, they don't care about anything more than their own ambition.
That's absolutely not true.
You think this guy Bill Clinton is going to make a huge difference?
I do.
He's going to do what's already inevitable.
Okay, that's where you're wrong.
Don't make me staple your head.
You're wrong. He's going to make a difference with African Americans. He's going to make a difference with women. He gets women.
Oh,
I mean, look at his record in Arkansas. Read his plans on healthcare. Read his plans on education. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Don't, you know, yeah. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Asleep. I'm really sorry.
That's fine. You wake up to a new America.
This
I believe you.
Really interesting.
Fine. You convince me. You're nothing.
I'm nothing.
They all turn to the TV.
Yes, I was Bill Clinton's lover for 12 years. In the past 2 years, I have lied to the press about our relationship to protect him. The truth is, I loved him. Now he tells me to deny it. Well, I'm sick of all of the deceit, and I'm sick of all of the lies.
We write about one thing. He certainly gets women.
This has been fun.
Bye, toilet paper guy.
Bye, coffee girl.
Later in a bar...
God, it never ends. They just keep playing it over and over and over
it's
again.
It's gonna blow over. People don't really care about this stuff. That's the thing.
Crying.
I don't understand. I've heard Bush has a mistress. Everybody's talking about it, so why is it okay for him and not for Clinton?
She's trashy. I mean, her hair alone is enough reason to go after Clinton.
Big deal. Everyone has their weaknesses, you know?
Those chubby redheads with the long fake fingernails?
Oh, that's what daddy likes. Oh, that's just
yes, you are unfailingly repugnant.
Hey, it's a coincidence. I love women that say unfailingly repugnant.
You know what I love? I love long-haired brunettes with horn-rimmed glasses. I have no idea why. They're like kryptonite to me.
I got that one, too.
I got a thing for guys who've got a thing for me.
You might want to look at that. I'm going to propose a toast to Bill and his weaknesses.
Yes, Bill.
To Bill.
A couple dance now while others play pool. Will's in the phone booth.
Hello?
Hey, it's me.
Is that Emily?
Oh, Emily!
What's all that noise?
Nothing. That's just a couple of idiots I work with making fun of me because they don't have a beautiful girlfriend that they're eternally devoted to.
You're drunk.
You're beautiful.
You're horny.
You might be right. Emily, come to New York. You'll love it here. It's the energy, the people, it's
Whoa,
amazing.
Did you just say energy? Oh, Will, you did not just say energy.
What?
You're never coming back.
Hey, come on now. I just want you to come for a weekend.
You're right, I'm sorry. Did you call Summer?
No, I left her a message, but she didn't get back to me. Hey. You okay?
Yeah, I'm just really lonely here,
and I miss you like crazy, and it's really hard.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Through the glass, he eyes a girl who sits on a bar stool. Next, a twin-bedded hotel room. One bed is empty. Will is in the other, staring at the package he holds for Emily's friend. The room door opens and his fellow campaign worker, a handsome black guy, Russell, comes in, holding his jacket. His tie hangs loose.
Hey, what are you doing up? Come on, you've been staring at that package for about a week now.
How was the rest of your evening? Successful, I take it?
Oh, my goodness. I'm in big trouble. I love this girl!
You know, that's usually a good thing.
It's hard enough to get elected the first black president without having Julia Roberts on your arm at the inauguration.
That is an impressive mental leap, Russ, going from a one-night stand to being sworn in as president.
Open it. I know you're dying to know what's inside. Just her name alone, Summer Hartley, is driving me crazy. Look at you, got a tear right there. I see it. Come on through. You can do it.
Will whips his covers back and opens the package.
It's a diary. Sweet Jesus.
No, stop. You stop right there. We're not going to read this. We can't. The boys' dorm is across the quad. Their windows visible from ours. The evenings are hot and sticky. We are all half-dressed, pretending we can't be seen by the boys. Some of us are bold. My new friend, Emily, is sweet and embarrassed by it all, always waiting to see what I will do.
No, stop. This is good stuff. Don't worry, you left them. Okay. It's our last night, and the plan has been in place for days. Emily and I are the last to leave. And as we reach the stairs, I grab Emily firmly by her wrists. She looks up at me expectantly, and I know what will happen next. Do
you? I
think
I have a pretty good idea myself.
Oh, my goodness. What are you doing? This is good stuff, man. Wait a minute. Is that your Emily?
Good night, Russell.
She is a freak.
Put the picture back.
Later in the night, while Russell is sleeping, Will reads the diary with a torch under his covers.
Wow.
Next day, he attempts to deliver the diary to Summer's address.
Who is it?
Will Hayes, I called earlier.
You a Jehovah's Witness?
No.
Christ, you're tall.
The door opens.
Hi.
A gray-haired man with a gray beard faces Will. The man in a dressing gown puts on specs that hang round his neck.
Come in.
Okay.
Close the door behind you.
Lock it!
Summer said to hang tight. She'll be back. She wants you to wait. What do you got in there?
I don't know. Are you Summer's father?
Yeah, I'm her daddy.
He searches on the bed covers among the pages of a newspaper and takes a cigarette from a pack. He steps back to Will.
Drink?
No, it's a little early for me.
Early? You're fresh off the boat, aren't you? So tell me about yourself. What's your deal? What do you aspire to? What are your dreams? What are your fancies? What do you want to be when you grow up? Sit down!
Okay.
What do you do now? No, wait, don't tell me. You work for your daddy.
No.
Don't tell me! Wall Street. No. You kiss ass to some fancy uptown law firm. I give up. What do you do?
I'm working for Bill Clinton. He's running for president.
No. I know who Bill Clinton is. Yeah, in fact, I know more about Bill Clinton than his own mother.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do? I drink. Drink. Be a man.
They both drink whiskey.
There you go. Isn't that better? Swallow. So, tell me about Bill Clinton.
He pours Will another.
Hey, wake up.
Later, Will wakes to see the beautiful, dark-haired Summer staring at him.
Want some aspirin?
She hands Will aspirin and water and takes the stylus off the record player.
You must be Will.
Hi.
See, you drank my boyfriend under the table.
He's not your father?
Is that what he told you?
Mm.
He's my thesis advisor.
Oh.
What else did he tell you?
He was telling me how to be a real man as opposed to the sort of, boy man I seem to be.
Did you learn anything?
Yeah, there's a lot of drinking involved. Also cursing and fighting.
Sex?
Yes, although that's not what we real men call it.
What do you call it?
I have something for you. This is from Emily.
I haven't talked to her ages.
We'll be moving in together in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
Summer sits on the sofa.
Please, Daddy.
The older man rests his bare feet on her.
Oh, come on, no. Oh, this.
She opens the diary and flips through the neatly written pages. She looks at Will.
Did you read this?
I didn't. I read a page.
A page?
Two pages at the most. And the part about you and Emily touching each other and kissing.
Oh, that part, yeah.
Incredibly descriptive. I felt like I was there. You're a great writer. I mean, you know, just...
I think you should keep it. You should read it when you're lonely.
I can't. It's your diary, so I can't do that.
No, really. I just... I don't need it.
I've already got it memorized, so I'm just going to leave it on the table. Keep a hard copy. That might be nice for me.
I wonder why Emily gave it to you to give to me.
Hmm.
Hampton?
Mm-hmm. Hampton.
Are you going to join us?
Ooh, that's Hampton Roth. He's an incredible writer. His book on the McGovern campaign is...
Yeah.
You...
Yeah, we do. Look, have you ever actually had sex with a sexagenarian?
I haven't.
Well, then, you shouldn't really judge.
Well, actually, I'm not judging. Look at you. You're beautiful, you're sophisticated, you're a very talented writer.
Thank you.
I mean, to please a woman like you, it would obviously take a...
real man.
Exactly. Hard to compete with that.
Well, unless you're the competitive type.
She shows Will to the door.
Yep, nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's great meeting you, too. I feel horrible about taking the...
He presses for the lift in the corridor. She kisses him on the lips.
Just curious. Hampton encourages me to cultivate my curiosity. He says it's the key to being a good journalist.
Yeah.
Summer! Daddy's hungry!
Speak of the devil. Better go. Yeah.
Where the hell are you?
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, give us a call sometime. We should all go out for dinner.
No, I lied. Yeah, I love dinner.
Yeah.
Later.
Are you gonna call her?
Are you insane?
Well, what are you gonna do?
What am I gonna do? I'm gonna keep my eye on the ball. Emily and I have a future with a plan.
Oh, which may involve some type of threesome then. Or foursome if that old dude is still in the picture.
You're not helping. I never should open a diary. It's like Pandora's hot, sexy box.
Mm.
What's a threesome?
What?
A threesome.
That's a game that adults play sometimes when they're bored.
Whatever. So, what happened with Emily?
Nothing. I wanted to wait till she came for a visit, and then I decided to do something really dramatic. It was just 1 week before the primary, and I had graduated from bagels and toilet paper to signs and bumper stickers.
He staples his finger.
Oh, Jesus! Murphy! What am I doing here?
A girl next to him shrugs.
Move over! Another foot! Go! Another foot! Move over! 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 Over!
Others in the campaign office stare at Will.
Just want to let everyone know that the new signs are ready. Looking good. I wrote 3 speeches for Congressman Sweeney. How's high school?
He's from Texas and his name's George Bush, but he is not the president. Instead, is the eldest son of George and Barbara, and considered a key political advisor to the White House.
Brian Morton, you forgot to mention the Texas Rangers.
Oh, okay.
Man, if this guy's smart, he'll go back to baseball.
No kidding.
Anybody see Hayes?
No.
Hayes! Where is Hayes? Hayes! Is it true you graduated first of your class in Madison?
Yeah.
All right. Come on, we're walking.
We're walking.
Here's a list of Madison graduates in the New York area. These people own 200 grand plus a year. We have a $10,000 a plate fundraiser on Monday with 15 empty tables. I can't have that, Hayes. I need you to sell 5 of them.
Oh, hold on. No more coffee? Bagels?
Oh, we'll see how this goes, okay?
Gareth.
What?
Thank you. I'm really happy right now.
Okay, Hayes. Okay. Visit this.
Oh, look at that. Yeah, that's funny, the toilet paper. It's good. It's ironic. Yeah, that's right, everybody. My desk. Right here, I got a desk and I got a list. And I have a phone. And this empty basket. Oh, no, I really don't agree that the governor has a character problem, Mrs. Perlman. Did you know that 50% of Americans believe that marijuana use should be legalized? Hello? No, he wasn't a draft dodger. Besides, did you know that the majority of Americans believe that the Vietnam War was just a terrible idea? Both legs. Wow, I'm sorry. You must miss them.
He's phone bashing.
Yes, I understand your concern, but I think you should remember that the governor comes from a town called Hope. And Hope is exactly what he stands for. So, no, I know it's corny, but I also think that sometimes corny is exactly what this country needs. That would be wonderful. No, thank you. 2 seats. Okay, great. Thank you, Mr. Bishop. Yeah, the dinner's next Thursday. Yes, when I spoke with Hillary this morning, she said that she wanted to get to know our most important supporters.
No, I think you'd definitely enjoy meeting her.
Yeah.
An entire table.
No, that is very possible. I'll put you down for one table then. That sounds great. Okay, I look forward to seeing you next Thursday. Okay, thank you.
Will looks up at the Clinton aide, Arthur Rob Rideau.
I just sold an entire table for $50,000.
Rob Rideau claps. The others join in.
That's my guy. My guy.
Russell throws popcorn and then waves a flag. Next, Will in the tobacconists.
Evening, gentlemen.
Pack of reds, please.
360. New tax on a new warning.
Oh, Christ. Tell us the truth, my friend. Did that Clinton inhale or not?
What does it matter? That's like if your girlfriend catches you in bed with another woman, then you say, but we didn't do it. Is that going to matter to her?
Yeah, it does. Hi.
Well.
Pack of American Eagles, blue, please.
$4.25.
$4.25? You pay $4.25 for a pack of cigarettes.
They don't put as many chemicals in them.
So those are healthy cigarettes?
Something like that.
Oh, so if there's not as many chemicals in them, they should cost less, not more, don't you think?
They put saltpeter in your cigarettes, which make them burn faster, which make you smoke more. Which means, at the end of the day, your cigarettes actually cost more, not less.
Copy girl, what I think you're actually paying for is the picture of the eagle and the pretty pastel colors, some reassuring idea about your lifestyle. The rest is pretty much crap.
You want to bet?
Sure.
$20.
I get 20 bucks.
Easiest $20 ever made.
Really?
Yeah.
That's funny. In a minute, I'll have 40.
Okay, we have to inhale at the same time for the same amount of time.
Yep.
Ready, steady, go.
Outside the shop, April and Will light up. The rain pours down.
It's my birthday today.
Happy birthday.
They puff away at their cigarettes. April wears boots and a short skirt.
Why aren't you out celebrating?
My boyfriend Lucas was taking me out for dinner and then to a party. But at last minute he gets a gig in Philly, which of course he takes, because...
They eye each other through their cigarette smoke as they lean on the shop window.
Truth is, he's far more interested in being the next Kurt Cobain than being my boyfriend.
Who's Kurt Cobain?
You're kidding me.
What? Smoke.
His cigarette is going down faster than hers.
Oh. Look at that.
Oh, look at that.
She does a little victory dance.
Yeah. All right.
No, come on. The satisfaction of me being right and you being wrong is more than enough for me.
Well, I never welched in a bet, so I'll tell you what, I'll take you out for dinner, for a birthday dinner. What do you say?
Like a date?
No, I didn't mean it like that. Like an I feel sorry for you because it's your birthday and you have no plans dinner. You know, one of those.
Well, I'll tell you what. You can take me to this party I have to go to because there's no way I can face going alone.
Now the two of them follow others out of a lift into a bohemian cellar bar. Will looks overdressed.
Whoa. I think I'm a little out of my league here.
Yes, you are.
April takes his tie off.
So Emily is what? Like your college sweetheart?
It's amazing how you do that.
What?
Well, you take the simplest statement and then you twist it with a completely negative connotation. It's really actually impressive.
I didn't mean to do that.
But I understand.
I actually think it's very sweet.
I get it. See, you did it again.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even know I'm doing it.
It's really hard for you to imagine a relationship based on mutual respect without even the slightest hint of whatever you call it, masochism.
Well, if your deal with Emily is so gosh darn wonderful, then why don't you just marry her? What's stopping you?
Nothing.
He shows an engagement ring.
Wow.
They stand on the rooftop.
She gets in tomorrow. I made a reservation at some fancy French restaurant on the Upper East Side.
Oh my God, you're doing it in front of a room full of strangers?
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
No, nothing. I think it shows confidence. What are you going to say?
I'm still working on it. I don't know.
Oh, you should work on it with me. You should practice with me. I'm really good at that. I will be Emily. I'm Emily, your college sweetheart. Is there something you wanted to ask me?
Emily.
Wait, you gotta get down on your knee.
No, I'm not getting down on my knee.
She'll like it. She'll like seeing you down on your knee.
I'm not getting down on my knee.
Such a mistake. Okay.
Emily.
Yes, William.
Don't make me laugh. Emily. Will you... marry me?
No.
God.
What do you mean, will you, marry me? I haven't seen you in weeks. You don't look happy or excited about the prospect of our marriage. You're asking me to give up my freedom, my joie de vivre for an institution that fails as often as it succeeds. And why should I marry you anyway? I mean, why do you want to marry me? Besides some bourgeois desire to fulfill an ideal that society embeds in us from an early age to promote a consumer capitalist agenda.
Oh! Oh, my God!
You should have got on your knee.
Just shut up. Here. I want to marry you because you're the first person that I want to look at when I wake up in the morning, and the only one I want to kiss goodnight. Because first time that I saw these hands, I couldn't imagine not being able to hold them. But mainly, when you love someone as much as I love you, getting married is the only thing left to do. So, will you? Marry.
Definitely. Maybe. I have to think about it. Walk me home.
They walk through the nighttime streets, passing a brightly lit market with flowers on show. He sees her into her apartment.
You want a cup of tea?
Yeah, lovely.
He glances at a bookshelf.
Hey, how come you have so many copies of Jane Eyre?
It's a long story.
Really? It seems to be about 300 pages or so. Seriously, why?
For my 13th birthday, I wanted a pair of gold stud earrings, and instead my dad bought me a hardcover copy of Jane Eyre. And inside he wrote a beautiful inscription, which I could care less about at the time, seeing as I was so pissed about the earrings, which was tragic as it turned out, because it was the last present he ever gave me.
What do you mean?
He died 3 weeks later in a car accident.
Jesus. That's awful. I'm sorry.
Have you ever read it?
No.
I read it every year or two. Each time it's different. It tells me different things. Anyhow, when I went away to college, my mom sold our house, and somewhere along the way, Jane Eyre got lost. Now, every time I pass a secondhand bookstore, I look for the copy that my dad bought me for my birthday. I know I'll never find it. It's stupid, but it's become this, like weird, superstitious.
It's not stupid.
Thanks, Bobby.
What are all these?
Oh, these are the ones I found that have inscriptions.
She opens one of the books.
With love and hopes and dreams of second chances, Alice.
They briefly exchange glances.
What is this?
This is Kurt Cobain. This is Nirvana. Do you like it?
Yeah, I do. You think it's ridiculous that I want to be a politician, don't you?
Yes.
Thank you.
No, I get the whole politician thing. It's easy to like you.
That's true. That's very true.
I just wonder if you want people to like you a little too much.
That's also true. I should want them to hate me. I'm gonna start working on that right away. You got any tips for me?
No, you're off to a great start. I'm hating you already.
Good. What do you want to be when you grow up? You're too smart to be making Xeroxes and babysitting.
Oh, I don't know.
Or else you do.
I don't know, and I don't know how to know. You know?
They share the sofa.
You know what I really want to do? Is I want to go to all those places that I know nothing about. I've been saving money, but I can't even get it together to do that, probably because I'm stuck in a rut with this guy.
You should dump him. I know that's none of my business, but you're too good for him. You are.
You know what's really cool?
I don't.
We can just sit here. We don't have to worry about flirting or all the attraction stuff.
That stuff.
Very cool.
Their eyes meet. Her mouth opens a little and moves towards his lips. She flings her arms round his neck and they kiss passionately. It's a lingering, intense kiss until he breaks away.
I gotta go.
She brushes her hands through her shoulder-length auburn hair as she watches him leave. He bursts through the door onto the street and jumps down from the step, looking confused. He gives a cursory smile to a passerby. In the distance, dawn breaks over the gritty-looking Queensbury Bridge, revealing a blue sky with wispy clouds. The streetlights start to go out as Will walks, hands in his trouser pockets, shirt hanging loose, to his hotel, the towering New Yorker. He goes through the revolving doors into the lobby and stares in surprise as he sees Emily waiting for the lift with her luggage. As she gets into the lift, he runs at full pelt up the stairs to try to get to his room before her. He reaches his floor and peeps cautiously along the corridor. He runs again and collides with a cleaning trolley. He dashes on to his room and unlocks the door.
There he is. Told you he wouldn't be long.
Hi, I wanted to surprise you. I took the red eye.
That's incredible. I was just telling Emily how Arthur sent you to Albany as part of the advanced team.
Advanced team?
Yeah, how'd it go?
How'd it go? Yeah, I'm doing great.
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 Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, I just get a little exercise. I ran up the stairs. Okay, I'm going to the office. It's, got a big day. Nice meeting you.
And you.
Okay. Good luck.
Russell leaves.
Hi.
Hi.
Will and Emily sit on the bed. They kiss.
It's weird, your tongue tastes different.
What?
It tastes different, your tongue.
That is weird.
It's not bad, it's just different.
Maybe it's the tap water here, the pH balance thing. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I told you New York was gonna change you. Can we maybe go for a walk?
Yeah.
Just get some air.
Yeah, you could see New York.
I would love that.
So did I ever tell you?
Oh, sorry.
Huh?
No, go.
Oh, I was gonna say, did I ever tell you about the day my dad proposed to my mom?
No.
Well, Dad was on his way to meet my mom to propose, and he runs into his ex-girlfriend, Caroline Hopper. And they're talking, they're looking at each other, and all of these old feelings, they start coming up, and he's thinking, I could run away right now with Caroline Hopper. Be a happy man. All I have to do is kiss her. But instead, he looks up. He sees my mom walking around the corner. In that moment, he knows that he had no reason to be afraid. You understand?
Am I Carolyn Hopper in this story or your mom?
The ring.
Oh my God, I'm your mom!
Emily,
Will,
when I saw you this morning,
please,
I knew.
Put that back in your pocket. So just stand up, Will. Stop.
Wait.
Just think about this. Oh, Will,
I'm not afraid.
Step back.
Just like the day that my
dad. Will! I slept with Charlie!
Oh. I thought we had a plan.
Well, you had a plan. Will, you have a really
big plan. Pretty sure we both had that plan.
I just can't keep pretending that I want an apartment anymore.
You were there when we made it.
How do you tell someone that you care about that you don't want the same things they want anymore?
The best way? Definitely having sex with the roommate.
It was cowardly, and I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, God! Oh! You're killing me.
No, I'm not. I'm letting you go. Because if we stay together, we're going to be miserable. I'm going to hold you back from all these incredible dreams that you have. And then eventually you're totally going to hate me for it.
No.
Yes, Will, I don't want that, and you don't want that. Trust me.
She fingers his brow as they sit by a stream in a park.
You're gonna be just fine, Mr. Haynes. Without me.
Back to the present.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Here is Tom Brokaw in New York.
Good evening. Bill Clinton may have been wounded in New York, but the big question tonight is to what degree, because after all, he is the big survivor, indeed, the victor in the New York...
They cheer, hug, and wave balloons and flags at campaign headquarters. A TV reporter interviews campaign boss Arthur Robredo. Later, they party. A world wall map with a picture of Bill Clinton has the message, first New York and then the world. Russell covers his ears as two of the girls sing to him. Amidst all the jollying, Will sits apart on his own looking glum. April peeps at him from behind a Bill Clinton hoarding. Then she steps closer, holding a bottle of beer.
Hey. Congratulations. I hear they asked you to stay on. You must be very happy.
Yeah, they did, and I am. Very, very happy.
Really? What do I feel like I should hide the razor blade? And the steak players and the scissors.
I'll be fine. It's the song. It's an excellent cure for the will to live.
I know. What about the dancing? Make that end.
I'm sorry. About the other night.
Oh, it's okay. I just didn't think that Lucas would approve. Or Emily, for that matter.
Well.
Besides, you and me... It'd kind of be like cats and dogs.
Yeah. Oil and water.
Sandpaper and bare ass.
That's gross. That's just gross.
You'd be the ass.
Yeah. Oh, no, thank you. Thank you
very much. Lennon and McCartney.
They were good together.
Yeah, while it lasted, and then they couldn't even be friends.
I think we could at least manage that.
I think we could. Enchanté.
Salut.
They drink from their bottles.
Come on, let's dance.
No.
Why?
Okay.
Next day, Will and Russell packed their bags in the hotel room they shared.
You ready?
Yeah.
They leave with their luggage. A photo of Emily remains on the table next to the bed Will slept in. In the present again, Maya strikes Emily from her list.
Guess that's it for Emily. I can't believe that she rehearsed with Charlie.
I can't believe it either.
That leaves April, maybe Summer. Anybody else?
I was too busy. I was too busy working on the campaign. Anyway, when Clinton got elected, Russell and I started our own consulting firm. And we worked on campaigns for everybody. City Council, State Senate. We even did one for the local dog catcher.
That's very interesting, Dad. But what about girlfriends? What about Mom?
Well, I started dating again. But nothing serious.
What about April? What happened to her?
Well, a week after Kurt Cobain died, she broke up with her boyfriend. She went traveling. She traveled all over the world, just like she always dreamed of doing. And she says that it was because of something that I said to her on her birthday. Anyway, we started writing postcards, we started writing letters. And before I knew it, even though we were separated by entire worlds, we became great friends.
In the flashback, he reads Jane Eyre.
It was 1994, and New York was full of new life. More jobs, more money. That was the start of the internet. And overnight, everyone in Manhattan had a cell phone, which they never put down. And then, our old boss, Arthur Robredo, gave Russell and me our first big break.
Thanks.
I had finally made it inside the room.
Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, let's get this party started. What's the word from upstate?
For the first time, New York was coming to me instead of the other way around.
The most endangered species in our nation isn't a big woodpecker or some freshwater fish. It's the tongue in our heads. Listen to the truncated bastard language of today. The average vocabulary is a third of what it was 100 years ago. Words fall out of our mouths and die at our feet. The landscape of vocabulary is being hacked down and grubbed up by the dribble of pop culture, poisoned by lazy obscenity, infantilized by a youth obsession, eroded by the bland blandness.
It's my favorite man, boy. And the logorrhea. You look very manly.
Well, thank you. Thank you. That's the aim.
politicians.
How's Emily?
Emily. She's starring in somebody else's diary now.
Oh.
How's the professor?
The professor is wonderful.
He's funny.
He dumped me for a sophomore. Told me it was for my own good.
Everybody seems to be using that line these days. What have you been up to?
I'm writing these really dumb items for New York Magazine.
Mm.
Waiting for my big break.
And syntax isn't what Nevada brothels pay the IRS.
I want to go listen to the professor.
Sure. Nice glasses.
Listen to your kid.
Summer moves closer to Hampton Roth, who is signing books.
William Hayes. Hmm. From, don't tell me, Wisconsin. Yes, the cheese state.
Roth steps over.
Very nice of you to come to our little shindig. I'll have another, please.
What?
Yeah, Summer tells me you're writing speeches now for Arthur Robredo.
She tells me you're dating a sophomore.
No, actually, it's two freshmen, which on a good day add up to a sophomore, I suppose. Walk with me. Why would you want to work for a hack like Arthur Robredo? As I recall from our first encounter, you're a man of principles and ideals, even. Don't tell me you're just another yuppie puppy in an Armani suit.
You were wonderful, darling. Is he being nice?
Nice? Yeah, he can handle himself.
Sure, I can handle myself. First of all, Arthur Robredo is not a hack. He's worked his way up from the streets. He was a cop, an entrepreneur.
He's a putz.
Oh.
See, this is exactly what my book is about. Here, read it. It's free. Beauty, ideals, love. Don't mean squat anymore. It's all about power and money.
I've read every single one of your books, and you're completely obsessed with power and money.
Oh, that's because he doesn't have any. Right, babe?
Babe, I'm about the love.
Oh.
As you know.
Yes.
That's why you keep me around, to keep that rampant, rapacious ambition of yours in check. I have a thought. Why don't you use that newly acquired scintilla of power and influence to get Summer here to write an article about your man, Robredo. That way, Summer gets a break and you get the word out.
What do you get, Hampton?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it's the love, yeah. More of the love.
More.
Yeah, that's what I'm about.
More love.
I knew Summer would be back.
Did you?
No, at first I didn't want Summer to be my mom. But now I'm kind of liking her. Did you ask her out on a date?
Mm-mm. I wanted to, but I couldn't. Because she was writing the article.
On the front page of the New York Magazine, a photograph of Arthur Robredo with the headline, Why Robredo Can't Play It Safe, New York's Tough on Crime Democrat, by Summer Hartley. In his mayoral campaign office, they all read Summer's article. Russell breaks the silence.
Wow, this is pretty good. Will, this is really good.
Will calls Summer. They meet up for a drink.
Sure, it didn't seem like a puff piece.
No, it's perfect. It's absolutely. You know, there's one part though that kind of bothered me. William Hayes, Robredo's chief speechwriter, is both intense and boyishly handsome. Boyishly, I mean.
Yeah. You know, I originally wrote William Hayes has seductive eyes and the intriguing looks of someone whose clothes you want to rip from his very body, but editor made me change it.
There's just no room for truth in journalism.
Outside.
Did you always want to be a journalist?
No, until I was 16, I wanted to be an actress. I wanted to sing on Broadway.
Wow, really?
Yeah, really.
Wow.
Is that hard to believe?
Well, aren't actresses needy and emotional and, you know, insecure, that sort of thing?
What are you saying? That I don't need? That I don't have emotions? I'm an incredibly needy
person.
I'm a very needy person.
I'm saying I would love to hear a song.
I'm sorry?
Give us a song.
You want me to sing you a song?
Why not? You have a favorite?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah.
She hands him her bag as he sits on a public bench. She stands in a red dress.
How glad the many millions of Timothy's and Williams would be.
I'm a William.
Don't interrupt. To capture me. But you had such persistence. You wore down my resistance. I fell.
She falls into his lap and then takes him to her place where they dance.
It's not that you're attractive.
Wow.
Will you please put it on?
She takes him shopping and chooses a white shirt.
You know, it really isn't so bad.
You know what the funny part is? It's $1,000.
They fall onto a bed and kiss.
On you, sweetie pie.
Frank Sinatra, Ronstadt.
Why?
A whole bunch of these. Well, if you look on the back, they all have one common song.
I got a crush on you.
Every one of them.
How's it going?
Still got a lot to do.
Another day, they share a sofa working on laptops.
Yeah, I'm about done.
Yeah, me too.
They kiss, they go out, they come in, they kiss again, and again.
I've got a crush, my baby.
They lean against a tree and kiss in the moonlight. The New York skyline twinkles. They wake up in bed together. He rubs his eyes as she gazes at his face.
Was I snoring?
You know what I've never done?
What?
I've never spent the whole day in bed with a really great guy. I'm serious. I always think of something more important to do. I'm a workaholic. It's really bad. Will you spend the whole day in bed with me? Can we do nothing?
He replies with a kiss.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Summer. Please leave a message and I will call you back. This is Dr. Levenstein from the Columbia Presbyterian Emergency Room. We have had...
Hello? Mr. Roth has had an aortal rupture.
What does that mean, exactly?
Think of it like a tire blowing out on the highway after going too fast for way too long.
They go to his bedside.
How's that, Mr. Roth? Are you comfortable?
I make a living. Come on, sweetheart, give me a smile. I waited my whole life to do that joke.
Poor Hampton. Ow.
Summer's come. What's he doing here?
Hello, Hampton.
Hello.
Will steps away and makes a call.
One thing
left intact. No. Don't mention grass rings. Don't mention...
It's killing me that you're going out with the kid.
Really? It's not the booze or the cigarettes or the sophomores.
It has nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it.
Listen, I want you to know I've donated my organs to medical science, except for one, which is for you.
Sweetie, that's so
kind. No, not that. My heart, stupid. Please tell me you're not in love with him.
I can't do that.
Can I have a cigarette? Just a dying man's last request.
Not happening. God, you're such a drama queen. Nobody's dying. What do you care if I'm in love with him, huh? You're the one who set us up, remember?
Yeah, well, I kind of figured you'd chew him up and spit him out.
Oh, you're such a sweetie. You're a sweet guy, you know that?
I read the Robredo piece.
Yeah.
Guy's been in New York politics for over 20 years, and all you can dig up is that his daughter had an eating disorder.
What are you saying, Hampton?
Do your job.
In the function room of a hotel with Russell, Will holds a paper with the headline, Clinton endorses Robredo.
I can't believe we're finally going to meet the president. Look at that.
Look at it.
I'm a long way from that hotel room on 8th Avenue.
Thank you very much.
I don't believe. Which idiot forgot to check the menus and the programs?
What?
There's no union seal on the menus or the programs.
Are you serious?
The hotel workers won't let anybody into the building. The Teamsters won't set up the satellite.
Has anyone seen Robert Klein? I was with him like an hour ago. Now he's gone. I think he was completely plastered.
Who's supposed to know where Robert Klein is?
You're not going to believe this, but there's a hailstorm in Chicago.
Who cares about Chicago?
We do. The president's coming in from Chicago.
Okay, great. Don't worry about that right now.
You know, let me ask you a question. How could you let this happen?
What? What's missing from this jumping down? What are you talking about?
Guys. Hey, deep breath. Look, let's just ask the hotel, see if we can use the internet connection and find a printer.
I'll call Klein's agent.
Great. Gareth, have a drink. You, I don't know who you are, but your fly's down. It'd be great if you wore some underwear. I'm going to go check the weather in Chicago.
Will's on the internet, Gareth's on the phone.
He may not be in your union, but he still happens to be the president of the United States. Remember him? So if I was you, I'd get your men off that truck and in this hotel. What are you
doing?
Can't
talk to a Teamster like that. Come on.
No. This guy.
Well, everything's going to be fine. Look, check it out. I downloaded a copy of the union seal. If you could just please paste it onto a menu, make 500 copies, use a union shop, we're going to be home free here.
Copies? You want me to make copies?
Well, at some point, we all make copies. Your time is now.
That's not funny, Hayes. That's very bit. Oh, yeah, that's real mature. Where are you going?
I'm walking. Back in half an hour.
What a dick. Yeah.
William Hayes.
Speaking.
I'm watching you right now, and I know all about you and your friend Roberto. In fact, I know so much if I could bring you both down.
Really? Who am I speaking with?
Why don't we meet and you'll find out.
Where are you?
I'm close by.
I don't have a lot of experience with, whatever this is.
You're getting warm. You're hot. You are so hot.
It's April.
I got you.
I thought you were gone through the summer.
No, I thought so too, but this crazy thing happened. I mean, I was camping on this beautiful beach in Crete with all these really cool people, and there was this guy that I liked, Paco, brooding and sexy, monosyllabic and totally my type. One night, I'm dancing with Paco, and he kisses me. An incredible deep kiss.
Spare me the details.
And what do I do?
Well, what'd you do?
I start crying. I mean, tears are rolling down my cheeks, which he doesn't notice because, of course, his hands are all over my body, which felt nice, which made me feel even more upset because in a flash, I saw our entire relationship from present to future tense. I mean, the incredibly hot start with Paco basking in my love and admiration. What are we doing here?
I just gotta think something else. Just take a second.
And then the inevitable moment, and I don't know why it happens. I don't know why it happens, but it always does. When all that love and admiration would start to irritate him and he would find some way to hurt me. I mean, sure, after he'd be sorry. So, I decided to unlock his beautiful lips from mine, remove his hand from my ass, and I walked away.
Good move.
I walked away, Will, from Paco. No one walks away from Paco. And it felt life-changing, and I realized I had to tell someone. When I realized who that person was, it was so unexpected.
Here we are, sir.
It's like when something is staring you in the face and it's like you're too blind to see it. What's that?
I have some news for you, too.
They're in a jeweler's shop. An assistant hands Will a ring. April rushes out.
Whoa. Why are you so upset, huh?
Don't you think it's a little weird? We've been writing each other for however long, and somehow you neglect to tell me that A, you've fallen in love, and B, you've fallen in love.
I told you I was dating someone.
Dating someone? You just bought a diamond engagement ring
I'm
for someone.
I'm sorry. I think I was just nervous to tell you.
Why would you be nervous to tell me?
I don't know. I love this girl so much. I just really like you to be happy for me.
I can be happy for you. Of course I can be happy for you.
They hug, the present again.
Poor April. She's like the character in the story. She's always been the friend. Then she realized she doesn't just want to be the friend. She wants to be the girlfriend. Except it's too late.
What do you mean?
Weren't you listening? She came home for you.
Will ponders as he lies on his daughter's bed, back to the function room.
There's union seals on all the menus, my friend.
Weather cleared in Chicago. The president will be here by 8. Where's Russ?
Gonna meet you and Arthur in a restaurant.
An artist rehearses on the stage with a backdrop of the American flag. Summer waits in an upstairs bar, reading a magazine through her horn-rimmed specs.
You're early.
She stands, and they kiss and hug.
Mm-hmm. I see you.
You look great.
Thank you, you too.
It's a nice tie.
Well, you'd know.
So, the magazine asked me to do a follow-up on Robredo.
Great.
Yeah, it is great. It's also... It's... complicated. You just read it.
You already wrote it.
Yeah.
She looks anxious as he reads the transcript. It's headed, Robredo gives political favor to friend in jail.
He did this?
Yes.
He actually got a friend in early parole.
You know what? I think it happened such a long time ago, and you're way ahead in all the polls.
No, I don't think that's going to matter because he's the tough on crime Democrat. That's... When people read this...
You know. Robredo arrives with guests.
Summer, listen to me. If you hand this in, we won't survive it.
I think it'll be a big deal for about a week, and then the storm will pass.
I'm talking about you and me. Candidate brought down by speechwriter's girlfriend. Come on.
I'm just doing my job. I didn't do it the first time around. And if I didn't write this, somebody else would.
Let them. Hey. Don't hand this in, okay?
She lowers her eyes.
You already did.
Now she holds his gaze uncomfortably. She puts her fist to her mouth and raises her thick arched eyebrows, looking thoughtful as he leaves. At a table downstairs, Robredo eats with three guests. Will whispers in his ear. In the present again, Maya crosses Summer off her list.
I really like Summer. I can't believe she turned out to be such a...
Heartbreaker?
No.
Opportunist? Double-crossing...
Bitch.
Maya.
How could she do that to you?
It's like she said. If she didn't write it, someone else would have. And it was the truth.
So did she? Did she break it?
What?
Maya puts her hand on her heart. Will pecks her on the cheek.
What happened when the article came out?
In the flashback, a newspaper rests on a desk with a full front-page photo of Robredo and the headline, He's Out. Will sits in the almost deserted campaign office looking forlorn as Russell comes in.
You screwed up, man. You really screwed up.
Please save it. I don't need to hear this right now. Whenever I figure out whatever I'm supposed to learn from all this, I'll write you a letter.
Yeah, can't wait.
So, I lost my girl, I lost my job, and I lost my friend. And for a long time, nothing seemed to matter. But I wasn't the only one with problems.
I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky. I never told anybody it's a lie.
Luke,
are you watching?
These allegations are false.
April?
And I need to
yeah, April, who do you think it was? Are you watching or not?
Of course I'm watching. You think he did it, don't you?
I don't think. I know. I look at the picture of her. I love her. She's so his type.
It's 1997.
Oh, it took you so long to finally call me back there, Red. I thought I lost you.
Feels like years.
I'm calling you now, aren't I?
Yeah. How are you? What's doing?
I got a new roommate, Olivia. And I'm working at a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been thinking about going back to school.
Cool. Hey, did I tell you that I hate my job? I used to love what I do, and now I feel like a complete hack.
Are you seeing anyone?
Me? Am I seeing... No, absolutely not. In fact, I haven't had sex since Clinton was reelected.
Well, why bother? He's having enough sex for the entire country.
Easy now.
Hey, maybe you should follow his lead and seduce an intern.
You know, it's funny that you should mention that. There is a fetching young intern who just started a week ago.
Right. Ask her out.
I should, shouldn't I? But I don't think I will. You see, I don't want a fling. I want the real deal.
Forget about the real deal. You don't find it, it finds you.
What does that mean? I don't know what that means.
It means that you get to a certain age and then you're ready. You know, you're ready for kids or commitment or, you know, a mortgage.
Your table's ready.
You know what I mean? And the person that you're with then
they become the one.
So you're saying it's not who, but it's when.
Exactly.
Okay, all right, so there's never been a guy, ever, that made you think, this is it, this is him, this is the one.
No.
Okay, then why aren't you out there, you know, enjoying yourself?
I am.
You are?
Yes. Right now I'm seeing this guy, Kevin.
Kevin?
Kevin.
Who the hell's Kevin? Where did... How can he never, you know, mention anything?
I'm mentioning him now. Oh, God, they have fresh mint tea. I love fresh mint tea.
I love beer.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah.
Oh!
That was a completely mistake.
At home alone, he throws his takeout at his TV set. He checks his messages.
Hey, this is April. I want to talk to you about your birthday. Call me.
Hello. I hope this is the right number. It sounds like you. It's Emily. I'm in New York, and I was thinking maybe we could get a cup of coffee and catch up. My number is...
Hey, it's April. I still need to talk to you. Please call me back. But don't make me come over there and hurt you.
Okay, I'm coming.
Coming. Yeah, I get it.
He answers the door wrapped in a blanket.
What are you doing in there? Oh, is this what you're wearing?
What?
It's your birthday party. Everybody is waiting for you.
Oh, Christ.
Five minutes, okay? Oh! Oh, I'm down.
Are you okay?
Yeah. I just need to lie here for a sec. Ooh.
I see you've been eating noodles.
I believe I'm gone.
April takes him to his party.
Everybody's here!
In a bar decorated with bunting and a happy birthday sign, the old team of campaign workers greet him.
Oh my God!
I didn't think you'd be here.
You couldn't miss your birthday. We came all the way up from Washington.
Happy birthday, gorgeous. Oh.
That is a beautiful woman right there.
You had your chance, pal. Thanks.
Russell taps him on the shoulder and the two old friends hug.
It's great to see you.
Yeah. You look,
homeless. Where's Kelly?
She's right over there. It's the first night out since the baby was born.
Congratulations.
Iran Contra. Arms for oil, no problem. But a little oralness and you're headed for impeachment.
Maybe he should be impeached.
Wait, did you say that? I love him.
You thought it's gonna be different than the other jokers, but this guy, he can't even define the word is. What happens if they give him one of the hard words, like truth?
I'd vote for him again.
In a heartbeat.
Will's a lot of fun.
Yeah, let's fill up the tub and drop in a toaster. That should be good.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
I was just talking to him.
Will has disappeared, with a scarf wrapped tightly round her neck. April skips across a cobbled road and down her street towards her apartment. She sees Will sitting on her step, clutching a bottle in a brown bag.
You missed your birthday cake.
Uh-oh.
And I baked it.
You baked it. Do you remember that song? In your apartment? Come as you are, as a friend, as a known enemy.
Memory, not enemy.
Yeah.
Oh, somebody had too much to drink.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Yes, you did.
She sits beside him and drinks from his bottle. Mm.
God, you're beautiful.
Thank you. What?
The thing is that I like you. I've always liked you.
like.
That's pathetic. It's so puny. Love, on the other hand, you know, you'd run away from a word like that. I love you. I'm in love with you, April.
She looks away with a troubled expression.
Why do you ever tell me?
Come on. You know exactly why I never told you. You'd never be interested in me.
You're an idiot.
They hold each other's gaze. Will leans in and kisses her.
Stop.
What?
Not like this.
Like what?
Look at you, Will. You're a mess. Why couldn't you have told me when you had your shit together?
My shit is together.
Your shit is a mess. You're a mess.
My shit is a mess. That's interesting coming from you, April. I mean, you could do anything, anything on Earth, and you work in a bookstore. What's that all about, man? At least I tried. I went out there and I tried. Look, I'm just saying this as a friend, and I swear it's just as a friend, but maybe you should go out there and, get some help. Go to rehab or life rehab or something like that. I don't even know if they have that sort of thing, but if they did, you could be a prime candidate for that.
I should go to life rehab?
Yeah.
She gets to her feet and slaps his face.
Get off my front porch.
April.
She goes into her apartment, leaving him sitting on the step. He stares down at the bottle he holds in the brown bag and angrily throws it onto the pavement. Back in the present, his daughter Maya gives him a disapproving look as she paces in her bedroom.
You're right. It is complicated, isn't it? I mean, you're in love with April, who used to be in love with Lucas, and then she fell in love with you, but you were in love with Summer, who's always really in love with Hampton. And now that you're in love with April, she's in love with Kevin. And no one's in love with you. That's complicated.
Yep.
Then what happened?
In his flashback, Will walks in tight jeans and a hoodie along a street. He pauses at a bookshop. A notice says, used and out of print books bought. He spies a copy of Jane Eyre displayed in the window and goes inside.
Jane Eyre, Random House, 1943. It's a beautiful edition known for the cover illustration. But there's a really nice dedication inside with a quote from the book. To my darling daughter April, the human heart has hidden treasures, in secret kept,
sealed. The thoughts, the hopes, the dreams, the pleasures, whose charms were broken if revealed, from your loving father.
Next, Will knocks on the door of April's apartment. Her flatmate, Olivia, answers.
Hi, Olivia.
Hi, Will.
How you been?
Good. I haven't heard any of your long, sorry messages in a while.
Those were delightful, weren't they? Sorry about that. April here?
No, she's at school.
School?
Yeah. She started grad school at NYU.
Great. Wow.
If you want to wait, she'll be home soon.
I'd love to.
Make yourself comfortable. Finish this application I'm writing.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Olivia leaves him. He stares around the apartment and sighs. His eyes drift to April's bookcase, then to a shelf of photographs. There's a black and white picture of April with another guy. He stares at it with sadness. The guy in the photo appears on a gantry behind him, drying his face with a towel.
Hey.
How you doing?
Kevin.
Will Hayes. Just, waiting for April. Are you the same Kevin that she mentioned a while back?
I hope so. Unless she's collecting Kevins.
Kevin, phone!
Anyway, I'm pretty sure I am the only Kevin who's actually living with her.
In jeans and a white T-shirt, Kevin raises his hand in farewell. and steps away to answer the phone call with the towel over his shoulder. Will glances around the neat apartment, looking hesitant and unsure of what to do next. With the copy of Jane Eyre sealed in a gift wrapper, he goes slowly towards the door, opens it, and leaves, taking the book with him. Next, he sits on his own in a street cafe. There's bread on the table. A waitress brings him a glass of red wine.
Do you know what you want yet?
No.
No.
Dressed in jeans and carrying a bag in each hand, Summer strolls past.
Will? William Hayes?
God.
It is.
Summer. Oh. You look beautiful.
Oh, believe it or not, I've been meaning to call you.
Oh.
Mm. I'm pregnant.
You're... what? Really?
Can you believe it?
Please, Sid. Congratulations.
Thanks. Thanks.
Who's the lucky guy?
Sam Knowles.
Okay.
But he's basically out of the picture.
You didn't make the cut, huh?
Yeah. Well, I don't need a guy. I never really did. You're about the closest I ever got. No, really, when I was with you, I thought, this is it. But I screwed it up.
No, you didn't.
I did. I so did. Listen, I'm having a little party. 10-day.
Huh?
I want you to come.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. 4:00. No excuses. You come? Please?
You know, I'll see if I can make it.
I really want you to.
I'll make it.
I want to make amends with anyone I ever hurt. And I figure it'll take about 9 months. Which is perfect timing.
And she's off.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
William Hayes.
Dad, maybe this wasn't such a good idea.
What?
Telling me this story. This mystery love story. What if I don't like who my mom is?
Of course you like who your mom is. And you don't have to wait long to find out. Because that very night...
It's Summer, isn't it? And you're not my father. I wonder you didn't want to be with her.
Take it easy, Maya. It's just a story. And this one has a happy ending.
How does it have a happy ending? You and my mom, whoever she is, you're getting divorced. What's the happy in that?
Her eyes pricking with tears, Maya buries her face in her bed.
You know what? I think we should stop now.
No.
And how about a nice cup of tea? If you want, I'll still continue with the story. Does that sound good? Maya?
Okay.
He starts to leave.
Dad? I can't believe you smoked and drank and was such a slut. But I still love you.
In the kitchen, he heaves a sigh. He sits down looking miserable and puts a hand to his mouth. When the kettle is boiled, he makes 2 mugs of tea and takes them into his daughter's bedroom. Maya is lying skew-whiff on her bed, asleep. He takes a sip of his tea before putting the mugs down. He covers Maya with a fluffy blue blanket. He kisses her head and turns the light out. It's morning. A long bus trundles along an overpass. Light streams into Maya's bedroom. She's sitting on her bed beside an empty cereal bowl, studying the list she's made. She smiles and jumps down. Later, in a leafy suburb, she's with her dad as he buys food from a street vendor.
Thanks. All right. All right.
No, don't eat yet. Not till we get to our bench.
Oh, you're in a good mood.
Well, I think I discovered who my mom is in the story.
Really?
Really.
Well, who is it?
Not telling.
No.
So, the last time we saw William Hayes, he had just discovered that the woman he truly loved, April Hoffman, was in love with another man.
Oh.
I know. Shocking. Meanwhile, he accepted an invitation to the home of his ex-girlfriend, Summer Hartley. Who, if she does turn out to be my mother, I'm running away to Canada. I am not kidding.
At Summer's party, Will picks up her photo of Hampton Roth. Summer joins him.
He died last year. You heard?
Well, I read about it. Times.
Yeah.
God, died in his office. Heart attack?
Yeah.
Yeah, I always imagined that he'd make a more theatrical exit.
What they didn't say was he was on the couch with the dean's daughter.
Jesus.
I'm kidding. Actually, he was completely alone, and it was hours before the janitor found him. You want a drink?
Sorry. You must miss him.
I do, yeah.
These are for you.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Flowers.
Oh, they're beautiful. So are you.
Summer.
Will.
Don't mess with me. I can see where you're going with this. In a second, you're going to say something impossibly charming.
Really?
Yeah. It's going to be great. And then you're going to sweep me off my feet, and we all know where that's going.
Can a girl miss a guy?
You know, that's going to end badly. Yeah, she can, but I just don't really have time for the pain. Well, let's just skip all that. Why don't we?
Okay. Fair enough. Can we be friends?
Yeah.
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 Shake on it?
Let's do that.
Okay. You know what? There's someone here I want you to meet. Yeah, come with me.
They're an old flame of mine, and I think you guys are really gonna, you know, hit it off.
He comes face to face with his college sweetheart.
Emily.
Summer smells the flowers.
He's in some water.
You look...
You look great.
Why are you in New York?
I live here. I took a job with the city education department. I called you.
I know. I've been meaning to call you back.
Liar.
I lost your number.
Of course.
No, it's true.
Well...
You know what? Okay, give me your number right now. And put it on my cell phone. And that way I'm never gonna lose it. Okay?
My number is 212-664-7665.
See? Now I got it. And I'm never gonna lose it again.
Her phone rings.
No, go ahead.
Sorry. Hello?
Hey, it's Will. I'm really sorry I lost your number. Oh, I just had the weirdest flash of a whole life. One that never, ever happened.
Oh, wow. What did happen to us?
You slept with my roommate.
Oh!
I'm sorry. If I remember correctly, I believe it was my plan, wasn't it? The plan?
Oh,
remember
yes,
that?
The plan.
Who talks like that?
No, it wasn't the plan. I was scared of you and your dreams, and then after we broke up, I just felt lost. I still feel pretty lost, especially when it comes to relationships.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been, me too.
They stroll along a tree-lined street.
Did you ever think that maybe we just needed a different plan?
Wait, stop! Stop right there! Now go back. Okay, stop. Now go forward, slowly. Now here it comes. There! Right there! That's it. That's how I figured it out. That's what Mom does when I'm upset. She fluffs up my hair and tells me to be brilliant or shine like the sun, and it always makes me feel better.
Sounds like a great mom.
She is a great mom.
So you're absolutely positive, 100%, that Emily is the very same woman walking toward us right now.
Absolutely. Is it?
He nods.
Mom!
Hey!
Mom!
No!
I'm so glad it's you.
Who else would it be?
Nobody.
Good morning, Will.
Hey, Sarah.
Mom, can Dad come with us to the zoo?
Oh, yeah, if Dad wants to come, sure.
You know, I love the zoo. Let's go to the zoo.
They link hands.
Guess what, Mom?
What?
We learned all about sexual intercourse at school yesterday.
Really?
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 Through glass, they watch the penguin families. Some are swimming, others stand on a rocky surface, chattering and posturing.
I love penguins.
Me too.
Me three.
Did you know that penguins mate for life? Although, as someone else told us, that sometimes the husband and wife penguins get separated because their migraine patterns...
Migratory.
Well, sometimes they're apart for years. They almost always find each other. Hey. Do you know what the husband and wife penguins do after they find each other? After all that time? They roll back their heads, flap their flippers, and sing as loud as they can.
Will smiles as Sarah playfully covers Maya's mouth. Next, an inner city park with trees, greenery, flowers and sculptures, and a backdrop of skyscrapers. Maya sits on a bench, staring intently at her parents as they utter their amiable farewells. The little girl's long golden hair hangs loose. There's a hint of melancholy in her eyes as she watches the two people she loves most of all, the two people who used to love each other.
Okay, all right, Munchkin, let's go.
Hey, Monster, that was fun today. I'll see you on Wednesday, okay?
Will takes Maya into his arms and kisses her. They go their separate ways.
Dad!
Maya runs back. Will squats down to her height.
Thanks for telling me the story.
You're welcome. I forgot to tell you the happy ending.
What is it?
You.
Tearfully, she hugs her father. He wipes a tear from her cheek.
We'll catch up to your mom, okay?
He looks close to tears himself as she runs to her mother. He and Sarah go their own ways through the leafy park where the fallen leaves of autumn lie brown on the grass. Will stops in his tracks as he sees Bill Clinton jogging past with six bodyguards.
Mr. President! Hey, Mr. President! Will Hayes, I worked on the 92 campaign!
Clinton gives a thumbs-up sign and keeps on running. Will looks disappointed. Back home in his apartment, Will sits at the table and takes his divorce papers from the brown envelope. He flips through them with a fretful sigh and shakes his head. He signs the document, slams his pen down, and puts the papers back in the envelope, banging his palms down on the envelope in conclusion. He gets up and claps his hands decisively. He steps over to one of the many unpacked boxes that litter the room. He takes the top from one and throws it into the kitchen area. He rummages through memorabilia in the box, comes across a book by Hampton Roth, and then at the bottom he finds the Jane Eyre book he bought for April. He takes it from the box, ponders over it, and undoes the wrapping. He stares through his window at the tower blocks that surround his apartment. Next, he steps from a lift in an office block and walks along a corridor towards the reception desk of Amnesty International USA. He glances at large portraits on the walls of another corridor, a drab woman, an exotic oriental woman, and a young man in a vest who has haunted eyes. He sees April walking towards him with a co-worker who walks on. She stops with a mug in her hand, smiles, and then laughs.
I can't believe you're doing this. This is great.
Thanks.
You still smoking?
I quit.
Me too. Still living in the same loft?
Living in Brooklyn.
Always on the cutting edge. Dating?
Not a present. You?
I got divorced.
I know. I heard. I'm so sorry.
Why? You always said marriage was overrated.
Yeah, and you never listen to me. You were always with the rings.
Is that why you and Kevin never...
Oh, God, Kevin, no. Kevin, Something always seemed to be missing with Kevin. I don't know. It's weird. It was never quite right, you know?
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
You too.
They sit across a desk.
I have something for you.
He hands her the book.
Oh.
She takes the wrapping off with a growing sense of realization that it's the copy she's been seeking. She flips the book open and sees her father's inscription. She gulps as she's overtaken by a rush of emotion. She fights back the tears.
I mean, where did you find it?
That's the difficult part to explain. This is gonna sound bad. I've had it for a while.
How long?
Years. Many years. I meant to give it to you. I wanted to give it to you. I couldn't. And I don't know why. I dropped it off once. I tried. Kevin was there, and, hey, there is no excuse, and I'm sorry. It's inexcusable.
I think you should go, Will.
April?
I think you should go.
She swings round in her chair. He faces her back. Her auburn hair hangs loose on her shoulders. Will swallows hard. He picks up his jacket and painfully deliberates before leaving.
You never gave it to her? After all that time?
I know.
But it was from her dad.
I know.
And then you just left?
Yep.
How come you changed all the names except hers?
What do you mean?
In the story, you know, like Mom became Emily and Summer's that Natasha lady who writes for that magazine. But you didn't change April's name. Why?
Why are you so concerned with all of this anyway?
Because I want you to be happy.
You know, I'm happy.
Trust me, Dad, you're not happy.
Father and daughter stare intently at each other across the table at his apartment.
Put your coat on.
Maya smiles. Her eyes light up. She runs for her coat.
Taxi!
The taxi takes them over the Manhattan Bridge, its lights twinkling in the nighttime sky.
She said something was missing with Kevin, which means it might not be missing with you, which is good news, right?
Could be.
Did you know that 35 people try to jump off the Brooklyn Bridge each year, most, because of broken hearts?
I'll keep that in mind.
In Brooklyn, the taxi stops outside a brick apartment block near the waterside. Will presses an intercom.
Hello?
Hey. Hi. It's me, Will.
April steps back.
April?
She timidly presses the intercom again.
What are you doing here?
Come on, tell her.
Who's that?
That would be my daughter, Maya.
That's kind of cheating, isn't it?
Bringing your daughter? What am I supposed to do now?
Well, you could let us in. I don't think she's going to let us in.
I think you're wrong.
Let's go.
A little while longer. She's going to let us in.
Okay, kiddo, here's the deal. I'm going to count to 30, okay? And if she doesn't let us in, we're going to go home, and we're never going to talk about this again. Deal?
Yeah.
Ready?
One, two,
three, four,
5, 6, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18.
If she lets us in, tell her the story like 19, you told me.
And then she'll know.
You know what?
I can't explain. She'll just know.
25, 26, 27, 29, 29 and a quarter.
29 and a half.
29 and three quarters.
What comes after that?
Time to go.
They walk away.
But this wasn't what was supposed to have happened.
I know.
I really thought you would have heard through the intercom and let us in, or run down the stairs and say...
What story?
April runs after them.
What story?
Maya pushes her father towards April, who returns his gaze defiantly.
I kept the book.
Yeah?
Because it was the only thing that I had left of you.
Maya listens and watches pensively. She raises her eyebrows in hope. April's face softens into a smile. She buries her head into Will's chest. April smiles fondly at the girl.
Oh, you must be Maya.
You must be April.
April steps towards Maya.
So what happens now?
You invite us inside, and we tell you the story.
Okay.
Maya takes April's hand. The three of them walk over the rain-soaked pavement towards the apartment. April and Maya go inside, while Will lingers on the step. April bursts back out of the door onto the street. She falls into Will's arms. He holds her close, and they kiss with passion and with love. She goes back inside. He stares up at the apartment and follows through the door. The end.
Oh, sweet morning, is your head...